Today on Real Radio.
The word in Hebrew is armed to the teeth. You ever heard that term? It comes from the Bible. They're armed to the teeth. They're like action figures. They got swords tied to their ankles. They got knives and daggers. And they got everything. And where else? Man, I got, you know, knives everywhere. These guys are totally armed to the teeth. And the term armed to the teeth is there's no more room for any more weaponry on your body anywhere. So guess where you put your last sword?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch, Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're continuing a series taken from chapter 18 of the book of Judges, the title of which is an indicator of not only what happened then, but what is happening in our society today. It's the familiar slogan, if it feels good, do it. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
I know that the Bible will bring you comfort, bring you strength. God will provide for you. It doesn't take away the pain. That stuff happens every day. Why are some people born the way that they are, horribly deformed or crippled, or that, why? I don't know why. I mean, I know the chemical or the physiological, you know, this fever caused this to happen, or, yeah, I know that stuff. But where is your God of love in all of that? He answers us in the book. The Bible says that this world has fallen under the scourge of Satan and suffering, and that's sometimes not good enough. How is it that you can be a wonderful Christian, great citizen, registered to vote, voting yes on 8, and you're suffering? See, where's the justice in all of this? You and I live in a very, very hostile world, and it's antichrist. The Bible says it is. We're like a fish out of water. The Bible uses the very term ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ's sake, and we plead to the world, be ye reconciled to God. And the word in the Greek for ambassador is an ambassador that's not sent to a friendly country to try to barter a deal of peace. The word in Greek is an ambassador sent to your most hostile enemy, nation. That's what God has done to the believer, to send you and I out into this world, into this community, and to make peace, and to proclaim righteousness, and to stand for what's true. It's very important. And it doesn't make sense sometimes. Why do good people suffer? Why do good things happen to bad people, is my question. Normally it's, why do bad things happen to good people? Francis Schaeffer said the reason why bad things happen to good people is because there are no good people. Isn't that interesting? It's a great way, or depressing way to look at it. But the truth of the matter is, you and I live in a foreign world, and it's hostile. And maybe you've lived a life that is just absolutely, you've got your complaints. We've all got our complaints. Could it be that God is so big, and he's so wise, and he's so brilliant, and according to Romans, last time I checked, it was still there, starting at Romans 8:26 down to verse 31. Is it not still true that all things work together for good to those who are called who love the Lord? Huh? That's still in the Bible, you know. See, well, I don't understand that. That's why it's in the Bible. I don't understand it either. He just said, trust me when you don't understand. And that's where real faith comes in. So what lot in life has been given to you? What is it in your life, in my life, that would be at the top of our list of complaints? I want you to think this tonight, entertain this thought. Maybe tonight, that very thing in your life that is, it's your cross, it is your burden, it is your bummer, is the very thing that God is using to do a great thing in your life. Maybe it's that thing that keeps you close to God. I don't know. Maybe it's that thing that keeps you humble. Isn't that what Paul said? Paul said, man, God gave me so many revelations, it freaked me out. And he said, I know now, after seeking God, the Lord spoke to me and he said, my grace is going to be sufficient for you, Paul. And he said, I know that this ailment came upon my life, the Apostle Paul said, lest I be puffed up in my head due to the magnitude or the abundance of revelation that God hath given to me. God used sickness in Paul's life to keep him humble. How is it that Johnny Erickson Tada, beautiful woman, young girl, dives off the end of a pier and is thinking she's diving into water that's 10 feet deep, and she dives into water that's 3 feet deep and breaks her neck. And Johnny will tell you, she's written it in her books, God has used my wheelchair and my condition to preach the gospel around the world. Are we satisfied with that? Would we accept that lot in life? Well, I've been fired. Don't think yourself a victim of this world. Listen, I don't mean to offend anybody, but I'm sick of this victim mentality stuff. It completely neuters the power of God in someone's life. Oh, I know God, I believe I have a Bible, I know that God is real, but I'm a this or a... Wait a minute, is he not all-powerful? Can he not fix our lives? You say, well, Jack, you know, you've had it so easy in your life. You don't know my life. You think you know, because, you know, we talk a couple times a week together. But there's stuff in my life, there's stuff that happened in my life that I'll never share with the public, ever. I don't have the freedom to share it from the Lord. But by his power, I've been able, by his grace and by the word, to overcome. And many of you have that same story. I would suggest to you tonight that the very difficulty, rather than run from what you don't like in life, like the tribe of Dan did, they didn't like it. They didn't like what God gave them. So they left and they went into an area. They said, look, it's too hard to live down here in the south in Judah. We're going to move up to the northern part. Climate's fantastic. Grow anything up there? You may be sitting here tonight and you say, man, why did we ever move to Southern California? It's Babylon. I agree. It's Babylon. It's disgusting. I was talking to a friend of mine who's visiting from out of state today. He was here and he said, man, I got to tell you, Christians here are on the line, man. The stuff that goes on in Southern California against Christians, he said, back where I come from, all the Christians would hang the people that do all this stuff in Christian love. Praise the Lord, brother, we're going to hang you for that. It's hard to be a Christian here. So, that's why I'm just going to go move somewhere and just have, you know, look, we all want to move somewhere and have a little thing, a little perfect little world. But you know what? You can't change lives that way. I mean, it's good for you and it's great. I'm not knocking it. God told you to live on top of a monastery, that's your business. See, why are things the way they are in my life? Some of it is because we've made really stupid decisions and we deserve it. And some of it is God's ordained it for us. And his grace is sufficient for both. We need to stop giving him lip service and really believe him and what he has said. Now we pick it up. Look at point number 3. If it feels good, do it. Verses 11 to 19. Just look out for number 1. That's what they're doing. These guys are just looking out for number 1. Now 600 men of the family of the Danites, tribe of Dan, went from there, from Zorah to Ashtaroth, armed with weapons of war. The word in Hebrew is armed to the teeth. You ever heard that term? It comes from the Bible. They're armed to the teeth. That is everything they got. These guys are amazing. They're like action figures. They got swords tied to their ankles. They got knives and daggers. And they got everything. And where else? Man, I got, you know, knives everywhere. These guys are totally armed to the teeth. And the term armed to the teeth is there's no more room for any more weaponry on your body anywhere. So guess where you put your last sword? The clue was armed to the teeth. The mouth. You take the knife and you put it in your mouth and you bite on the blade. They're armed to the teeth. That's how they're going to war. Can you imagine 600 guys coming at you like that? If I saw 600 men coming at me like that, I would run straight for them and get it over with. Sweet Jesus, here I come. But you and I live in a day like that. Weapons, Paul said, of our warfare are not carnal, or that is, they are spiritual weapons. Then they went up and encamped at Kiriath Jearim in Judah. Therefore, they call that place Mahaneh Dan to this day. They're west of Kiriath Jearim, and they passed, verse 13, from there to the mountains of Ephraim and came to the house of Micah. Everybody comes to the house of Micah. It's got a little sign up front, Micah. Pull on in. It's funny, the little diner, pull up. I don't know. Why does everybody go to Micah's house? Then, verse 14, then the five men who had gone out to spy out of the country of Laish answered and said to their brethren, do you know that there are in these houses an ephod? I mean, we've got there's a totally unsanctified, unauthorized pagan worship set up here. This guy's got a little gig going on up here. Worship is supposed to be down in Judah. This guy, did you know there's an ephod here? Watch out, people, listen. Is an ephod God? An ephod, remember we talked about last time, it's like a cereal box open on the top. It's for the priest. The white and black stones are inside. So they're saying, hey, this is amazing. Did you know there's an ephod here in this house? And household idols. This guy's got little gods. He's got an ephod. He's got a bunch of little gods and carved images on top of it. He's got molden images. He's got everything you need. Now look, therefore, consider what you should do. I mean, we've got the whole thing going on here. This is absolutely amazing. Just looking out for number one becomes the mindset of everybody involved in this drama. Micah's looking out for number one. The Levite's going to look out for himself. These guys are looking out for themselves. As long as you're paying. If you're paying, that's the mindset. Are you going to pay for this? Yeah. Okay, then count me in. What do I get out of it? How am I going to benefit from this? Look at verse 15. So they turned aside there and came to the house of the young Levite man, to the house of Micah, and greeted him. And the 600 men, armed with weapons of war, who were of the children of Dan, stood by the entrance of the gate. Then the five men who had gone to spy out the land went up, entering there. They took, please mark this, verse 17, right in the middle of it. They took the carved image, the ephod, the household gods, and the molded image. The priest stood at the entrance of the gate with the 600 men. This is his gig. This is his stuff. He's standing there. The 600 men, he's standing there with them, armed with weapons of war. Verse 18, when these went into Micah's house and took the carved image and the ephod and the household idols and the molten image, the priest said to them, what are you doing? And they said to him, be quiet. Put your hand over your mouth and come with us. This is the priest. This is all his stuff. And he's Micah's priest. Micah, what do you need to know? I need to know if God wants me to do this or that. Okay, and he's got his little idol. Okay, Micah, you can do this. Okay, thank you. That's great. Here's money. He's got his own priest, tells him his own thing with all his little icons and all his little gods and little worship systems. It's absolutely crazy. It's a little cult. So now the priest, this is so, to me, current in the world in which we live in. And so, as he is there, what are you doing? And they said, be quiet, put your hand over your mouth. Come with us, they said to him, the priest. Come with us. Be a father and a priest to us. Watch this. Is it better for you to be a priest to the household of a man? Just one guy? Man, you need a bigger church, dude. Let's have a big synagogue. Let's get a big thing going on. What are you doing wasting your time with all your little trinkets, your gods, and all this stuff? You're the priest? What are you doing? I mean, listen, we offer you a big deal. I mean, instantly, your church will grow by 600 people in a second if you just come with us. He says, or would you rather be a priest for a tribe and a family in Israel? That's so much like our world today. And here's the priest. Remember, he's just a rent-a-Levite. He's for hire. He hears this. He's not where he's supposed to be. He asked, what are you doing? When in reality, he should have said, stop what you're doing. He doesn't have a backbone whatsoever. Job 7 verse 2 says, a hired man is eager to look for his wages. The word implies that a hired man looks to the clock for his wages. You ever seen that happen? How many of you are business owners or you manage people? Raise your hand. Man, there's nothing worse than you hiring a clock watcher. They're like this. They're working. They're always like this. And you always know, the moment it's 5 o'clock, the moment, in fact, at about 4:55, they start loading up their desk. They start cleaning that. Have you ever seen those guys? Clock watchers. The Bible warns about that stuff. That's a hired man. It means he doesn't care about this stuff. He's just a hired man. That's who this priest is. Just pay me, I'll tell you what God is saying. So now they say, hey, why don't you come with us and you can just talk to a whole tribe and we'll pay you. Hirelings. The Bible calls this hirelings. There's hirelings everywhere. They're scary. You guys, in the world that I live in, it's pretty bizarre. Now, I praise God for Calvary Chapel style or ministry philosophy. It's very biblical. Most Calvary Chapels in the world, worldwide, because they are affiliated with one another, it's still officially not a denomination. There's no hierarchy. They are the closest thing going around since the early church age. Here's the thing. Chuck Smith's whole view from the Bible was, if someone's called by God to start a work, let him start it in a community, in a house, like in the book of Acts. If people come, they grow in the word of God and it bears fruit and it impacts the world for Christ, then God's in it. If it doesn't, God will destroy it. And a lot of people can't handle that kind of thinking. You know why? Because you got to trust the Lord to let that happen. So what happens is a church starts and it goes from 6 people to thousands of people, and your blood is invested, your life is invested, your years are invested, and it's your life. And so when the people are attacked, you're attacked. If somebody comes after the flock, they're attacking the shepherd. Are you with me? Or in this case, you know, the what? Sheepdog. Because he's the shepherd. You'd be surprised how churches and denominations, they have headhunters that work for denominations. You say, wait a minute, DuPont and Boeing has headhunters. Denominations have headhunters too. And they look. And they look on the internet and they look for churches that are growing. And they offer, listen to this, they offer those pastor of those churches money if they'll come and do the same thing in this town. And they'll underwrite you for a year or 5 years until, and oh yeah, let me tell you. Sometimes the offers come on CD. You click it in. Hello, Jack. This is the board of blank, blank, blank here in Milwaukee. Isn't it something? Personally? Now, you may say, well, that's right on. I don't get it. What's the pool? Where's the blood? Where's the investment? If you're looking at it, is this a job? Yeah, you know what? I'll take it. Great retirement program. You know what? I don't know. Sorry. But I don't know if that's, I don't know. Not going to say. Not for me. If money's the issue, can you imagine? Can you imagine if your wife came home? Hey, listen, I just met a guy at Albertsons. I mean, he's as ugly as sin. But the guy makes big money. Big money. And you don't make so much money. He makes big money. You're nicer, but he's got big money. You're handsome, but he's got the money. I'll see you later. You say, Jack, that happened to me last week. But seriously, listen, what's the value? What's the hook? This guy, this guy will do anything. Hey, why be a priest to a man? Let's give you some money. Come with us and be a priest for a bigger group of people. And the guy says, okay. The price is right. I'll take it. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 11, John 10, 11, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep, but a hireling, he who is not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees a wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, runs. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he's a hireling. And he does not care about the sheep, Jesus said. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my sheep. Isn't that amazing? Jesus, he said, I'll never leave you. Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Isn't that awesome? Verses 20 to 27, fourth point here, if it feels good, do it. It's this. If it feels good, do it. If you're going to live like that, then the mentality is, my gods are bigger than your gods. So, watch out when gods walk away. You could be in trouble. Look at the next verse, 20. So the priest's heart was glad. Oh boy. He's all happy about it. And he took the ephod. Look at it. He took the ephod, the household idols, the carved images, and took his place among the people. That is among the tribe of Dan. Then they turned and departed and put the little ones, the kids and the animals and the goods, all the stuff up in front of them in case the troops began to come from the rear. And when they were a good way off from the house, listen to this, Micah, the guy that just got robbed, all his gods are gone by his own rent-a-priest. What kind of a deal is that? Micah, it says here, the house of Micah, the men who were in the houses near Micah's house gathered together and overtook the children of Dan, caught up to the tribe with the Levite, and they called out to the children of Dan. So they turned around and said to Micah, what ails you? What's your problem? Watch this. What's your problem that you have gathered such a company? What are you going to do, beat us up? And so he said to them, you have taken away my gods, which I made, and the priest. You got my priest. And you have gone away. Now what more do I have? How can you say to me, what ails me? Here's a tip. If your God can be stolen by five guys, you got the wrong God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study taken from Judges chapter 18, it's actually a mini-series called If It Feels Good, Do It. It's part of our ongoing journey through the Old Testament book of Judges, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we are beginning to near the end of this Old Testament narrative, which really speaks of the volatility of the nation of Israel, and quite obviously, there are many parallels to today's society in which we live. Well, now we're offering Pastor Jack's series of the book of Judges all on one convenient MP3 CD. And here's our offer. For your gift to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount, we'll be happy to send it your way. Just be sure and mention the Book of Judges on MP3 CD, whether you call, click, or write. Starting with our website, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, and once you're there, you'll know where to click. Realradioactive.org. You can also call us at 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send in your contribution to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.